So we're holding here in the Yesodia Torah. I have marked off again that we did the first piece about Tefillah Bracha Shinatav last time, to Joshua Saran. And now we're going to see another piece on another Joshua Saran. Now, this is a piece dealing Shnei Goyim Bebitnech, Shnei Mun Ma'achia Paredu, L'Oim Elohim Yematz. So she's told B'Nevuah that there's this struggle between two umois, and there'll always be a struggle, one on the cheshbon of the other, and so on. So Ran speaks about this in his drashas. Valzeat sad yuvan, mashadosha b'senes al b'megillah, be'omrei l'um l'om yematz, uve'omrei amalach reivu shadosha boy, she'efshu l'shneim shavim b'gdula. Chazal darshin that Klal Yisrael and Esav cannot both be gdolim, avle melei azu nechrav azu. Either Klal Yisrael is chashuv and Esav is down, or vice versa. So he asks a question. V'yesh lishol, lo miyuchiv zeh berim mikol ha-goyim? I mean, why can't Adam just live in his own place and Klal Yisrael in their own place? And, you know, we have many other goyim that are... that have with Klal Yisrael different times fights, but it's not impossible for them to survive together. So he says, So I want to explain using a previous site and move on with it. V'hu, kimitzad shein goy roi shei kana bi Yaakov, ye efter shim shol mem shol rav, kam yesem moshe bi Yisrael. V'yesem moshe bi Yisrael. In other words, no other nation is really tied with Klal Yisrael in a way that they're jealous. It's never a sense, you're only jealous of somebody who's encroaching in your territory. So, Lamashal, if I'm a very, very successful wholesaler, I don't know, in New York area, I distribute wine in New York. And somebody comes along and he's in Florida, it's not really going to bother me. It's his world and my world are two separate worlds. They don't overlap at all. There's nothing, you know, I have, you know, yelecha shelecha, and that's it. Ach esav abchoyr ubenachlosi yisaba lemur, Esav's fight with Klal Yisrael, Esav's problem with Klal Yisrael is not Esav has Yerusha. Esav wants our Yerusha. It's a struggle over the same Yerusha. So Esav perceives himself as his Metzias being the Metzias of the rightful B'chair, and therefore, if Klal Yisrael is strong, he automatically is falls. So, just try to understand this a little bit. Esav's downfall in Klal Yisrael is automatic because Esav has perceived his Metzias as being only in Klal Yisrael's box. So if Klal Yisrael is shaylet in their box, then automatically Esav is gone. Let's even talk about this in terms of religion. Christianity, Hinduism sees itself as Hinduism, Buddhism as Buddhism. Everyone has their own thing that, you know, and that's that. Christianity sees its validity as being the replacement for Klal Yisrael. And as long as Klal Yisrael exists, they don't exist. Let's say it more correctly. As long as Klal Yisrael does not exist as a strong nation, they exist. Theology is they replace Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, or the Jewish religion, was a the Jews failed and the new Jews took over. The old Jews can stick around kind of as a reminder, Zeichel Churban, but that's it. And that's why when we got Eretz Yisrael back, it was very difficult for them to swallow it for the Vatican, because it's a pircha. It's a pircha to something very, very atzmi to them. So their destruction from Klal Yisrael's existence is because they've made that their metzias. But omnam, the reverse, moit Yaakov le'moshchem sasas Esav. Avis nasas Esav yichuv le'moit Yaakov. So v'loy be'etzem adech mashem moshchem moit Esav nasas cholila al b'mikra. So he says that the fact that we, the other side of it, we that become destroyed if Esav is to rule, it's not because our Metzias has been, that we've made our Metzias contingent on Esav's non-existence, but b'mikra. Mikra meaning it's collateral damage. V'hu. Kim lo yitzis Hashem Yisbach ha-she'yase b'yakav v'oiva v'yachnia, ki chalak Hashem Yisbach ha'chol ha'am l'umim yoshis b'chalokois, l'mi yachpoitz v'mein kol ha'am l'rab l'anchol kisikov v'd yoyisim Esav, v'nu v'ashes halcha v'oisav l'fonov Avram v'yitzok, so he says, if Klal Yisrael falls, and it's up to them, it's their decision whether they did well or not, then automatically Esav rises because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing, would like to give to Esav because he's from the same line as Yaakov. So what Chazal gave, this equation that they give when he falls, when we fall, they succeed, and vice versa, it's very different. When they take over, we fall because Esav sees itself as being in our box. When we fall, Esav triumphs, not because it's a din in us, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu would like Esav to take over. In other words, it's ke'ilu, there is something that they're going to get. So he says, the Ran says, Zemay shim shchu elatayim atzoitkim, v'onsabam tzidkosam, mashu inu nimshach ma'amitzius, mashu inu nevim shechoy. This is true because of the reasons I gave, and you see the psukim. V'zeh shama kosab, the pasuk says later on, v'yishlach, ve'elu ha'malochim asher molchu be'eretz Edoim lifnei melech malchut Yisrael. It says these kings ruled in Edom before Klal Yisrael had a king. V'lomo tzich lichtov lifnei melech malach. Why is one tied to the other? Im loy lo idea ki mitzad shebi yomei melech Yisrael malach melech Edom. It's telling you a reason. The reason why there was a melech in Edom is because there's no melech in Yisrael. It's kind of because Klal Yisrael was not around, therefore the Melucha went to Edom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Edom. Kasha nira asha sura malchusam biku melech b'Yisrael. Ki David ha-melech heikim alem nitzivim, v'lo niach lehem melochim. V'nim shakein atzman yashafat. So David ha-melech subjugated them by he had governors appointed them and not kings. The Nimshach Akein Azman Yashafat, like says in the Psukim Melech Ein Be'edoim Nitzav Melech, the Nimshach Zad Yimei Yoram, Asher Chatov, Lech Lech Beis Achav, Kosovo Yom of Pasha Edlas Yehuda, Vichalei Melech. Ve Gam Kim Loch Mat Golos Arz, Ki Kein Kosovo Yif Shed Edlas Yehuda, Yehuda, Yemazen, and so on. So he says, these are the Psukim, and that's where it goes. Now, the next piece is interesting. It's Omnom, he says, let's just see. Bizman Bayesheni, Hoye Edoim Tachas Yad Yisrael, Ki Hurkenes Hazokin Somam Shemi Yisrael, Bechnisam Bismila. In Zman Bayesheni, Edom was living in Eretz Yisrael under Yisrael, Ki Hurkenes Hazokin Somam Shemi Yisrael, Bechnisam Bismila. Hurkenes made them, he was mal them, he made them the guardians of Yisrael. He says, you see clearly that Edom was under our thumb, tool we did wrong, and then they took over. Now, the next paragraph is going to address a point that's really, really kind of interesting. Rome and Edom don't seem to have much of a kesher. I mean, anyone who's Osek Nizinyanim, you constantly hear the refrain about Edom and Christianity, and Edom and Christianity, Edom and Rome, and Marcus Edom, and so on. What is this historical connection? So it's not clear at all. Edom, the Edomites were a tribe that lived in the southern part of what is Jordan today. Edom, Ammon, Moab were nations who lived along, you know, in parallel to Israel in what are parts of Jordan today, further east than Deir Yad, and that's where they lived. So what exactly is, how did that get to Rome? So the Maral says that there's a Kabbalah with Dei Avisenu that Malchus, that Edom spilled over into Italy, and they became the backbone. They became Malchus. That's what he says. I think Rav Herzog has some research on it. Lemaisa, he says like this: Herdus was an Edomite. Herdus and Lemaisa, there were Rome appointed governors over Eretz Yisrael who came from Shevet, from the Edomites, and they were they caused a lot of tsaros. They were like the puppet of Rome, and therefore he says that whenever Chazal referred to Edom, they really mean Rome, but it wasn't very wise to use Rome, so they used Edom and Esav as a kind of a placeholder whenever they're referring to Rome. But Lemaisa, many Rishonim talk about Radak, the Barbanel, they all basically feel that, you know, it must be, it seems very clear that the Chazal understood it that way. I saw somebody else says, this is a person who's a star, actually, that the Rome itself, Italy did not start as its own nation. It really had different elements, different tribes that began the process. You know, it's a combination. And he tines that there were Semitic tribes also in that original configuration. I don't know. I have no, but Arkoponim, the Ran says as follows: Kikvardeno Abseinu Sinu Begolus Edom. Chazal tell us that we're in Golus Edom. Kim Heyoyis Asher Roim Achzav Shavenu. Even though Rome is the one that rules over us. Vehi Mechal Eretz Yavan. Koshtegim Onkelis Vitzim Yakitim Vesin Nesachmi Remoi. And that's considered part of Yavon. The kings who ruled of it were from Edom. There were many Edomites. So this is hard to say that the Pasuk, when it says Bas Edom, is talking about Rome. And the Targum touches it as meaning Rome. Hine ze mashnir b'mashav aleinu min hazman b'inyan Edom, ki b'eis Hashem Yisbarach matuzeinu matideinu shifleinu dabeinu reses gavad hashkes. So basically he explains the linkage between Rome and Klal Yisrael, Edom and Klal Yisrael, the fact that we have the first dibs, and if we do what's right, they will not be able to, they have no malchus. As soon as we rise, they fall because they see themselves as sitting in our spot. And if we're in our spot, they don't perceive themselves as existing. On the other hand, the other way around, if we fall, we have the choice of rise and fall. If we fall, if we do bad and we fall, they get back malchus because they have first dibs as being a son of Yitzchak. Next piece of an Ezra who argues vehemently. Ibn Ezra's shita is pretty unique, but it's an interesting shita. B'yeshenim shalei kitzu mishnas hevelas yachshu kanachnam golas edom. People, fools, who haven't awakened, think that when golas edom, in the Maisa, in the Neil, the Ibn Ezra also says that the fourth Malchus is Malchus Yishmael. We'll see it soon. V'chein kasa v'loikein adava. It's not true. Rak Edom hoya tachsiyad Yehuda. V'chein kasa v'yiv sherev tachsiyad Yehuda. Gam Yoyev hichas kozocha b'edom. Yoyev destroyed all the Zecharim in Edom. V'avir shoya tachsiyad Yehuda shemocho b'yom idenu. Some who b'yom idenu. And because they had been oppressed by Yehuda, they were very happy with us when we fell. So they were natives of Israel. There was no love lost between us, and they were happy when we got destroyed. And therefore Klal Yisrael very much was very sensitive when they said Oro they said ba, and that they were egging on the Bavli. So that's Edom. So Rome is an extension of Malchus Yavud. Now, this is true. I mean, historically, this is true in a, what's the right way of saying it? Culturally, Yavon was a hemshech of Rome. Rome was a hemshech of Yavon. It had been influenced greatly by Greek philosophy, Greek culture, and they were just a more barbaric form of it. But the Ibn Ezra says the Pasuk considers it just an extension of Greece. And he says, "B'chacham atorguma v'tziyim yad kitim v'imalchus yav matzak hashpiras sev daniel v'hoya nashim misay mispar sheminu b'munah chadasha v'kasha heminu b'mei Konstantin shechidish kladas lo'ei ba'olam shishmatoy chadasha chutzadoyim." So here he says that he says. The handful of people that believed in it, he says, were Daimiyim, and Constantine, and so on. He said the vast majority of Rome was not Edom. So he said, you see also that Mitzrayim is called Yishmaelim, even though there's very few Ansi Yishmael. So the Ben Ezra says a Hezba, that you had a small group of Edomim that ignited the sort of the spark of Christianity in Rome. So even though Rome itself is not Edomite, but since its religion and so on was sparked by Edomites, we considered Malchus Edom. That's what Ibn Ezra says. In the Neil, he says that we're Malchus Yishmael. And that's, you know, he calls the fourth Chai Yishmael, and today we're Malchus Yishmael, we were many times subjugated by the Arabs, and that's how he leaves it. Okay, let's see the next pasuk. The next one is a Teres HaMincha. Teres HaMincha is a Talmud Rash, but he has drushes on the psukim and a little bit sometimes Kabbalistic, but very, very sadistic material. So it says the whole story here where Yaakov took him for a ride, Esav, and he sold him, and he sold him the choyer for the Ziradashim, which definitely to us seems very, very unfair. I mean, you know, poor guy. He you know, he was duped by Yaakov and so on. So he said, Sheikh Toiv Vakash Rotzen, Misha Dirish Vechofet Siknas Chayam Haba Nikra Toiv, Kmoda Amris Marav Tuvrash Antre Echo Nafshat Tolin, Mayasi Vakash Lasois, Ritzain Ovich Hashemayim, Lovel Vesholim. Kizewa Mevukash Min Odom, Shalo Yerdof Achanos Olam Hazet. If a person wants Schar Olam Haba, he has to draw back from getting, from running, from pursuing physical pleasures, be kabel yisurin v'yemarek havoyinus b'seiv upon yofshek orotzen, and he's mekabelus of yisurim and so on, ki bazei yisatza adoynam d'chsevei miyatzas avoynam ki netz avoynam and so on. U'kshis marka v'nus aboylam haza v'loy nene mina oylam hazel of yitzorach b'tzimtzum. When a person's averis are erased and he was not overly indulgent, I'll call upon him Yikhaim Haba, he'll get a Chaim Olam Haba. So he's putting in an extraordinary caveat that we don't normally see. It's not just enough to do more mitzvahs than Averis. You also have to reject Olam Hazeh and not be too much indulgent. Umi she'ein achafitz b'tol Olam Haba, a person who doesn't care for Olam Haba, fein erod z'lachase nafsha menos Olam Hazeh, and he doesn't want to deny himself any pleasure in this world, and he can't stand, you know, being mortified, being purified for his aveis, and he indulges in this world's pleasure, gives it, and he will get olam haba while he's alive. A person has that choice. So Tosfos Mincha says here a quite a big chiddush, which, if you think about it, it is merumas a little bit in certain Chazal. We have two measures of Schar Einish. One is how much Schar Einish, and that depends on mitzvahs versus averus, the standard. And then there's something else also, and that is, what do you want? Do you want, you know, like an immediate payout or an annuity? Do you want now, or do you want Olam Haba? Now, this is not like we have a choice. It's not a question of choosing. It's a question of who are we. If we are Olam Hazadika people, then that's really the only thing we can get. It's like imagine you take a kid to a fancy restaurant. You have a 6-year-old boy take a fancy restaurant, and you order for yourself a wine bottle at $100 a bottle. And you ask the waiter for the kid for a Coke. So come with a Taina. I understand. I mean, you're buying yourself a drink for $100 and all you're forgiving your kid is a Coke? The answer is, my kid would find the wine obnoxious. He loves the Coke and he's thrilled with it. I like this wine. Olam Haba and Olam Haza is, what is your sense of Tainuk? And if a person's sense of tainug is physical things, he doesn't want Olam Haba. He doesn't have any place for Olam Haba to click into his person. And therefore, if the person is an indulgent person, then Olam Haza is what he wants. And that's it. V'cheina tamoitze b'yakav Esau. Ki Yaakov b'chol eiko, b'chol av yitzak koil, he wanted the b'chayra because that's what he wanted. B'chayra would give him a bigger avoda, more shlemistic avoda, and he would go further. That Ich sehe, weil ich ach es auf Jakob um Hashem, wo ich habe es Jakob, Jakob auch ein Kov, wo ich auch ein Kov, Israel, wo ich auch ein Kov. So, it's really, this Mechira here of the Nezira Dashim wasn't a fast one in order to, you know, cheat it out of Esav. Esav really had no need or desire for Olam Haba. That wasn't his thing. And Nezira Dashim of one type or another was what actually, you know, made his Metzias. Everything else was not relevant to him. And therefore, he couldn't and didn't, you know, he made this Mechira to give what should belong to him, what should belong to him. So just like, imagine you have, you know, two people won a winning ticket. One of them won a seat, $1,000 seat at some great opera. And the other person won a $50 thing to Starbucks. But the guy who won the opera really, really, really doesn't care for opera, doesn't want opera, you know, couldn't be dragged to opera if his life depended on it. So now he's not really, so when I trade him the $50 Starbucks ticket for his opera ticket, he's getting what he wants and I'm getting what I want. It's not cheating. But this goes to something, the whole Inyan, we ask ourselves, we talk about Gashmis and Ruchnis and Ruchnis and Gashmis and Ruchnis. How does that fit into the world of Mitzvahs and Averis? A person could be eating triple steaks that are Mahadran to Mahadran to Mahadran, and so what's he losing? I mean, where does it come into play that we shouldn't be looking for Gashmis, only for Ruchnis? I mean, at the end of the day, if it's double kosher, and you know the bed, the super plush bed has zero shatness, and so on, then what's the issue? What's the problem? The answer is, the problem is, there's another dimension on Hazan Haba. It's what is our Olam Haza, what is our Olam Haba? And the extreme of it is that the physical, you know, this the physical world becomes Olam Haza for us, and that's what you'd rather have. I once heard a marshal from Shalom Shadron long time ago, this is in the 60s, he spoke in America. I heard this marshal. It took him about 45 minutes to do this marshal. But we'll do it in about 4 minutes. He just really, really, you know, went to town with it. It's the story goes, the way he's told the story, the framework of the story is that the Chidushim Chassidim asked him about Elizabeth Nodaya, that it says, Yesh Kerna Lama B'Shachas, Bocha Rebbe, Vome Yesh Kerna B'Shachas. So he asked, first of all, why did Rebbe cry? Should have been happy because Elizabeth Nodaya was slated like to go down the tubes. And secondly, is it really fair? It's a, you know, Rabbeinu HaKadosh is, you know, does everything right all his life, Kedusha B'Tara and such wonderful things, and he gets Olam Haba, and this guy did call the boss, and he gets Olam Haba. So how are you talking? I once heard from, there was a boy in Yeshiva who once told me, like, he's upset because he has had some friends that bummed around a lot more than him in high school, and are learning much stark in him. So he wished that he could have bummed more in high school, and he wished he'd be learning stark like that. That was he both of them he wanted. He you know he had the bias regret on both ends. But Akapanim, so he gave them a marshal. So one thing he told them, it's tak, it was harder for him to do tshuva than for me all life. Fine. Second marshal he gave was, it was once a balagola. In Europe, balagola were the lowest of the low. And you know, they used to travel alone in faraway places. Nobody saw them. They used to drink a lot because it was cold and lonely. And, you know, it was less than less dying, and they did as they pleased. So there was a spalagola, typical balagola driving. And it's a very cold night, a lot of snow. And he hears like a tiny cry from a huge mound of snow. Kitsa, he makes believe it's not, he doesn't hear anything. But second time, I got to do something. Kitsa, he goes and he shovels out, it's backbreaking labor. Finally, he pulls out a half-dead man. Could say he rubs him, and the guy gets warm, and comes alive. He gives him a few shots l'chaim, and the guy, you know, the guy is living. So it was a big tumul shamayim. Mitzad echad, you know, kolamatzel nefesh achs miyisrael, and he deserves to go to Gan Eden. On the other hand, if they let him live a little longer, if they let him live much longer, he's going to go back again and recalibrate his mitzvahs and averis. Not going to be good. So they started to ask him. They ask him, and he says, okay, he's willing to go to Shemayim now. So he went home, said goodbye to everybody. It was Nifta next night. And they went up to Shemayim, so they put all his averus on one side, and wow, was way down. They put this mitzvah matzah nefshachas, weighed everything, and they announced Gan Eden. They asked him, "What Gan Eden? You can choose Gan Eden." So he said, he thought a minute. He said he wants a coach made of the finest English leather, with 8 horses. Healthy, strong horses, a smooth road, and customers all day long. So he said, "Yesh koina olam moy b'shachas. You can't be koina somebody else's olam haba. You can only be koina your own olam haba. His olam haba was horses and wagons and roads. That was it. And that's why Rabbeinu HaKadosh cried that because he got to it to such a shortcut." He Elaz Nadayas can never be Masig or Ruch Nisikatainig, and whatever it is, however you understand it, it'll be that. And then Absalom sang, "Ay, but the Chizur Sherim, what kind of horses, what kind of this, you know, that Absalom, it took this took 45 minutes, this mashal, it was a major production. But the point of it was, there's another measure, and that's a certain quality of experience. And a person, you can only understand things kafi your erech, and so your zika to gashmis versus ruchnis determines your frame of reference for the schach. That's the basic point Rosh Mincha is making. Okay, any questions? Any points?
That last point the Rebbe made.
Yeah,
is that saying that he, if I misunderstood, it was that he. He only was able to get a lesser part of Olam Haba because of the way he led his life, or he was always destined for that? I didn't quite understand that.
No, had he transformed himself and worked on himself, then he'd be a different person. It's like sometimes, you know, a person does something like that's extraordinary, on adrenaline. A person made an extraordinary leap, but that's not him. So, you know, it's like, imagine you have a kid, you know, on the age when they're sort of still struggling with learning, and you turn him on, and he does a whole mishmen, learns through a sugi, this and that. You don't think that he's going to learn continuously because he doesn't like it, he doesn't enjoy it. He had a spurt. So because his ruchniistic achievement was a spurt, it wasn't a person, it wasn't the type of schar that he could be shayach to.
So when you say olamo, it was the olam that he had at that.
Right, that's his world. That's his world of musagim. That's his world of understanding. That's his world of experience, of positive experiences. It's just not a positive experience. You know, to I always tell the bachim, you know, you say in benching, you know, we should be zeicha to yom shekulay toiv umnuchal chayelamim. I said, a 3-day yontiv drives you out of your mind. What are you being mispowered for exactly? You know, third day yontiv, you already can't sit still. You're all over the place. Second day yontiv, you're all over the place. So what are you being mispowered for? Yom shekulim nuchay alamim. I mean, that's it. You have to be a ruchnistic person to say that. You know, a yom shekulim nuchay alamim is a world that I want.
The Rambam says if you do one mitzvah with shleimus that ben olam haba, like the
right. So the Rambam in Makkos Pirshas, the Rambam says that, you know, Ratzach Hashem actually saw if you don't have mitzvahs. So even if you did one mitzvah b'shleimus, one mitzvah b'shleimus means, you know, l'shma. It means that you did it because you felt it. In other words, the lishma means that I got it. So once I open up one ruchniyistik nekuda in my metzias, then it's possible to transfer other things also to that ruchnias. And that's why, you know, we've had conversations to be getting people a ruchniyistik experience, even one, is a key to everything else. Because if a person can find in learning a tam ruchni, then it's possible to explain to him that it's possible to in Maisim Tovim, it's possible in Tefillah. Once at least you have a sense that it exists, it's possible to quote unquote enjoy something other than physical enjoyment, then everything else is open. And that's what the Rambam means. Even one mitzvah lishma means I've tapped into one hanah that's of a different it's of a whole different nature than my physical hanahs.
Did something change for Esav that it says that, you know, he was meriven benachla shtei alamos when he was in the rechem, and then now we see he seems to not be interested at all? Was it something that changed for him?
So, I think if his mida is just kina, the idea that someone else has it. Let's give an example, translating something practical. You have sometimes a competition of two boys wanting to be the best bracha in yeshiva. So each one is trying to best the other one. But sometimes you have somebody who's doing very bad. He's like the worst boy, but he's trying desperately to trip up the top bracha because he doesn't like that someone else does have it. So it's the kin of Esav is that someone should have a nakla of a world that he's not native of, not part of. That's something that he's jealous of, that he doesn't, you know, that he doesn't want.
So he was content to sell it and be mevazet.
Correct. The only way, in other words, by saying, who wants it anyway, you know, that put him at ease. But what he's saying is he etzem was not shy to it. And basically all it was a way. So Yaakov was getting what rightfully is his. It fit him, and he was the one that should be, you know, learning yeshiva. Esav said, that's Yaakov's job and my job is to do X, and after working out with him, he would become part of it. Just like, imagine that same person who doesn't have the zitzvah to just learn, but he spends his time supporting people, helping them, and so on. So he becomes part of a ruchnistic enterprise. It becomes his ruchnistic world. Over here, because he was mevazet and because he couldn't stand that Yaakov has it, he did. This is what he did.
If we're not going with Ibn Ezra, so how do we relate? If we're not going with like the Ebenezer that we're currently in Golas Eden,
right?
How do you know currently we're dealing with the Ishmaelim? How does that relate to?
I don't know how would we fit in our brethren into this cousins into this picture? I don't know. We don't have any. The Maral speaks about why isn't Yishmael listed, and he speaks about it. He says they have to be Melachim that get one from the other. It's not the list. It's not our list of the top enemies of Klal Yisrael. It's a certain chain of malchus of different possibilities that went through. Yishmael is not including that. That's the way he explains it.
Is there a link that's clearer between Yishmael and the modern day Arabs as opposed to Rome and Edom?
So he says also interesting. He mentions before that there are not that many Yishmaelim living. A lot of what's written about Yishmael, that they were nomads inhabiting the desert, the peninsula. I don't think that there was much turnover in the general population. There may have been turnover in specific tribes, specific places. They were nomadic and they went from place to place. They fought and this and that. But I don't know if there was a be'etzim difference like Edom to Italy, just geographically. Edom is Arabs. and Rome is Rome. It's Europeans of sorts. What exactly happened if one ship goes the other? It's much harder to understand. Okay, good. Agud fach.
Good luck. Thank you very much. Good to see you, Rafi.